everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we're discussing community issues and learning from people who are working hard to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you are making a difference with your deeds. Well, the U.S. Surgeon General reports that 1 in 5 children has a mental illness at some point. Yet, common as it is, there still remains the stigma of a mental health diagnosis. Parents struggling to find the best options for their child are also faced with a complicated and fragmented system of care to address mental health needs, leading not just to frustration, but ultimately leading to poor outcomes for some of our community's most vulnerable children. Margaret Nimmo Crow, Acting Executive Director of Voices for Virginia's Children and coordinator of the Children's Mental Health Campaign, will describe how Virginia is doing in terms of addressing children's mental health and share how you listeners can learn more and get involved. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you, Elaine. It's great to be here.
That's very nice to have you. So first, Margaret, why don't you share a little bit of background about Voices for Virginia's Children? What's the mission and purpose of Voices?
Well, Voices for Virginia's Children has been around for 19 years. We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit child advocacy organization, and we work mostly at the state level. It is our mission to champion public policies that improve the lives of Virginia's children. And one of the ways that we do this is by focusing on good data, making sure that we know how kids in Virginia are doing. So we are the home of the Kids Count Project in Virginia, which keeps track of child well-being across many different domains, health, education, safety, for every locality in Virginia. So we always start with good data.
So you can go in and look by locality how your community is doing?
Absolutely. You can compare Richmond to other cities in Virginia or to the surrounding counties. So all the localities in Virginia, you can look up how children are doing in school, low birth weight babies, any kind of data that you can really think of about children, you can find out how they're doing in your community.
Right, and that's at Kids Count, you said?
It is. It's on our website at vakids.org. That's the Voices for Virginia's website.
Great, thanks. So one emphasis that you have in looking at policy for children and advocating for children is the data related to how they're doing. So collecting that data and providing a space where people can learn from it and analyze it on their own.
Absolutely. We provide that data. We also use that data and other research that we do to investigate how kids are doing in Virginia and what public policies could work to improve their lives. And the areas that we work on mostly are early care and education, children's health with a particular focus on mental health, foster care, and alleviating child poverty.
Okay, so those are all pretty broad in and of themselves. And we're devoting our conversation today to focus on one of those four, and that's where you're working on children's health, specifically mental health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know from our research, and we started on this topic more than 10 years ago, that as you said, 1 in 5 children experiences a mental health disorder. And in Virginia, that adds up to almost 100,000 children who experience a serious mental health problem. And we know, both from national surveys and from state-level surveys, that families have a very hard time accessing the care that children need. And this is for a variety of reasons. One of the biggest reasons, as you mentioned, is stigma. There's still an incredible negative perception of mental illness and that it's somehow different from physical illness. And so parents are often reluctant to say that their child is struggling with depression or anxiety and to actually seek help.
I think sometimes parents feel like it's somehow their fault.
Well, they do. And unfortunately, there's a history of actually blaming parents when they do come forward for help. And even for those of us who don't want to blame parents, sometimes we don't know what to do if this happens to someone close to us. I've talked to many families in Virginia who have had a child who's been hospitalized because of depression or a suicide attempt. And they talk about how if their child had been diagnosed with cancer or some other physical disease, there would have been a huge outpouring of support from friends and family. But when your child is admitted to an inpatient psychiatric hospital, nobody brings casseroles.
Yeah. You don't know how to react.
People don't know how to react oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to turn that around with the Campaign for Children's Mental Health. And we're also trying not just to address the public perception and the stigma, but the very real lack of services and the availability of services when parents do reach out for help. Unfortunately, we have a shortage of mental health professionals trained to treat children, and that's particularly acute in the rural areas of Virginia.
So there's a shortage of child psychiatrists or other
providers? There's actually a shortage of all mental health professionals trained to treat children, but there is a national shortage of child psychiatrists. There are fewer than 8,000 in the entire country.
The entire country.
So there is a huge gap in terms of the demand and the availability. And we're simply not going to be able to provide enough psychiatrists to meet the demand. And so we've got to find ways to make better use of the ones that we have and help other health professionals be equipped to deal with children's mental health issues.
Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're speaking with Margaret Nimmo-Crow of Voices for Virginia's Children. Margaret, what's your website again where people can get more details on Voices?
We have two websites. For Voices, it's vakids.org. And for the Campaign for Children's Mental Health, it's oneinfivekids.org.
One in five kids, is it numeral one?
Yes.
Oh, oneinfivekids.org. Okay, great. Now, can you share a little bit more about the goals of the campaign?
Absolutely. Well, let me start by telling you about why we're doing this, and that is because of the consequences of untreated mental health disorders in children. So obviously you care about it if a child close to you is experiencing a mental health disorder, but as a society, we should all be caring about it because there are very expensive consequences when we don't treat children's mental health disorders when they first appear. And those are kids with untreated mental health conditions are much more likely to have school failure, drop out of school, become involved in the juvenile justice system, become homeless, abuse substances. And these are all tragic for that child and family, but they're also very expensive sort of social consequences for us to pay for. So part of the campaign is trying to educate lawmakers about the prevalence of children's mental health disorders and the cost effectiveness of actually providing treatment. So one of our goals has been to expand the array of community-based mental health services that are available for kids throughout the state. And I'm happy to say that over the last 2 years, Virginia has provided an additional $5 million to make more services available in communities throughout the state.
That's great. Does that include in the Richmond region?
It does. Actually, there are five health planning regions of the state, and some of the funds went to each of the five health planning regions to start a pilot project. So in the Richmond area, the funding went to a consortium of the community services boards, which are the public mental health agencies, and a nonprofit organization called St. Joseph's Villa in Henrico. And they have actually started a 6-bed crisis stabilization unit for children. So this is a place where children who are experiencing a mental health crisis but do not need to be hospitalized can go for a short stay and receive very intensive treatment and then be returned to their families. One of the components of the program is also a mobile crisis team. So this is a team of clinicians who can actually go into a child's home or school or wherever the crisis is occurring and try to de-escalate the situation and bring in additional community resources that can help stabilize the child. If necessary, the child could then be brought to the crisis stabilization unit at St. Joseph's Villa, but they may not need to be. They may be able to stay home once they've received that intervention.
Which I imagine is ideal, to be able to stay where they're comfortable as long as they're going to be safe and cared for in that space.
Absolutely. So if a child needs 24/7 medical attention, for instance, that's a child who needs to be hospitalized. But there are many types of mental health crises that don't quite reach that level of severity, but the family is very much in turmoil and really needs some intensive help brought in. And this is what these services are all about, because you certainly don't want to hospitalize a child if you don't have to. It's very disruptive for the child. It can even be traumatic. Sometimes the police are involved. And they're also away from their family, friends, and school.
Mm-hmm. And plus, it's more expensive for the community.
Absolutely. And that's one of the main points that we have made to lawmakers, is that we are saving money by being able to treat kids more quickly and in the community rather than sending them to residential treatment or having to hospitalize them.
So the campaign has been able to advocate for programs like the Crisis Stabilization Center, is that what you called it?
Yes.
And additional funds to support programs like that.
Absolutely.
And what else is the campaign focusing on right now?
Well, the campaign, in order to have these sort of policy successes and work toward these goals, we've been able to mobilize a broad partnership of other organizations who care about children's mental health. So we have more than 60 partner organizations around the state who work with us, and we're all speaking with one voice when we go talk to policymakers. We've also mobilized grassroots support. So if you think about the fact that one in five children has a mental health disorder, those are a lot of adults, voters, who care about children's mental health once they're made aware of the issues. So we've really worked to educate the public about the importance of speaking out about children's mental health. Part of that has also been working with the media. We've worked with reporters and editorial boards across the state to try to get coverage of children's mental health issues. We tend not to read about this issue unless it's at the time of some tragedy. And we know that actually kids and adults who suffer from a mental health condition are much more likely to be victims of violence than perpetrators. So we're really working to bust that stigma and try to get children's mental health issues covered in a different light at a time when there's not a tragedy, just knowing that this is an ongoing part of many families' daily lives, and it's something that ought to be covered in the news.
And it may be impacting the people immediately around you, friends and neighbors, and you may not even realize it.
Absolutely. And that's why we branded our campaign One in Five Kids. That is the statistic about prevalence. And I think it really drives home the point that even if you think you don't know a child affected by mental health issues, you almost certainly do. You're just not aware of it. It's someone, if it's not your child, it's someone in your child's class. It's someone at your house of worship. It's someone in your neighborhood. There is most likely a family you know that is struggling with how to get help for their child who's suffering from depression, anxiety, ADHD, bipolar disorder, any of these disorders.
Mm-hmm. And where do you recommend parents go if there is a parent that's struggling with these issues or trying to find the most appropriate care for their child? Of course, they're going to start with their pediatrician, but are there other resources in the community that they could access?
Absolutely. I would recommend that folks in the Richmond region, or really anywhere in the state, could go to mentalhealthforkids.org, and that's the number four, Mental Health for Kids. That is the website of the Children's Mental Health Resource Center here in Richmond, and it has a wonderful array of information about what to do if you're worried about your child and community resources.
Great.
A good place to start beyond your pediatrician or primary care provider is also the community services boards, which I mentioned. And if you go on their website, which is vacsb.org, the Virginia Association of Community Services Boards, you can find out what your local public mental health agency is. And every locality in Virginia has one.
Right. I think in Richmond, it's Richmond Behavioral Health Authority.
Absolutely.
And Chesterfield Community Services Board, Henrico Community Services Board. Is that
right. Hanover has one as well. Mm-hmm. So every locality is covered. And each CSB also has an emergency line. So if someone feels that they are in an emergency and need help right away, there's always someone that you can talk to. And if you go to that website, you can learn which one is yours.
Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're speaking with Margaret Nimmo-Crow of Voices for Virginia's Children and the Children's Mental Health Campaign. Remind us, Margaret, of the websites referred to where people can learn more about these topics?
Absolutely. To learn more about Voices for Virginia's Children, our website is vakids.org. And to learn more specifically about the Campaign for Children's Mental Health and to sign up to get emails so you can stay informed, you can go to oneinfivekids.org.
So the Campaign for Children's Mental Health is certainly focused on the solutions and trying to get the community as a whole, as well as policymakers and decision makers, to focus on those solutions. You mentioned that there were some innovative programs at St. Joseph's Villa with crisis stabilization taking place. Are there some other solutions that are going on right now that you're working to highlight around Virginia?
Absolutely. I think one of the most exciting things, because of the shortage of child psychiatrists that I talked about, is some of the work that's being done across the state to really maximize the reach of the child psychiatrists that we do have. So some of the new funding from the state is being used to do telepsychiatry and psychiatric consultation with pediatricians. So these are ways that we can expand the reach of the limited number of doctors that we have. And telepsychiatry has actually been shown to work really well with kids and adolescents who are very used to Skype
or video chatting or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. They're very used to technology and they feel very comfortable with it. And so the child psychiatrist can be in one place and the child can be in another place with another mental health clinician, but just not a doctor. And they can check on medication, they can do an assessment, they can really do almost everything that they would do in person right there through telemedicine. And so that's been very effective, particularly in the rural parts of the state where families would have to drive for hours to get to the nearest child psychiatrist. Another model that's working really well, and the Community Services Board in Lynchburg is doing this, they're actually having a child psychiatrist go to a big family practice provider in Lynchburg once a week during lunch and meet with the physicians and staff some of their very difficult cases around children's mental health when they need consultation and they don't quite know what to do. One of the things that we're finding is that lots of pediatricians and family physicians are the ones on the front lines who are actually treating children's mental health issues, and they are not equipped to do so. And so it's very helpful for them to have a child psychiatrist that they can consult with on a regular basis for some of their more difficult cases. And we're hearing from Lynchburg that the doctors absolutely love that service, and it's very valuable, and it allows them to feel like they're treating that child effectively.
So they can have somebody there to serve as a sounding board, to run some issues by, help them in their practice, like maybe training them to identify issues in a different way that maybe they wouldn't have learned in their traditional schooling as a pediatrician.
Absolutely. And it can really help triage some of the more serious from some of the less serious mental health problems in children. So they're better equipped to deal with some of the less serious problems within their own practice, and then they have a relationship with a child psychiatrist who they can refer children to if they need some additional help that family physician can't provide. But it's that backup. It's having that expert that you can go to and someone that you know that you can call if you have a question about a case.
Yeah, I mean, you realize that the pediatricians have an expert when it comes to shoulder surgery or some other physical issue. Why not rely on an expert when it comes to psychiatry as well?
Absolutely. That's the exact model that we're going after.
So what else is the campaign focused on in these upcoming months?
Well, we're very excited that we have an event coming up on August the 5th, which is a campaign forum on mental health with the gubernatorial candidates. Both Ken Cuccinelli and Terry McAuliffe have agreed to participate in our forum. It's being held the evening of August 5th at Collegiate School in Henrico County. And this is an opportunity for the public to hear from the two men who want to be governor about what they would do as governor around mental health issues. And it's not just limited to children's mental health. We're partnering with more than two dozen organizations on this event. And so they will be asked questions ranging from children's mental health all the way to adult mental health and geriatric mental health issues. And this is not a debate. It's a forum. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity for them to get the questions ahead of time, prepare their answers, and really give thoughtful responses to what their policies will be. And the advantage for us is, of course, they're making those statements on the public record. So we will have a record of what they plan to do if elected.
If elected. And will there be an opportunity for people who attend to ask questions there on the spot, do you know?
There is not going to be that opportunity. We've actually gotten questions from all of our partner organizations ahead of time, which represent a wide range of issues. And we formatted it in this way because as 501c3 organizations, there are certain types of electoral work that we can do, and it's much easier to stay within the bounds of what we can do if we ask the questions ahead of time. And it also gives us the opportunity to have the candidates prepare. This is less of a gotcha kind of event and more of a public education type of event.
And really hearing what they do plan to do in relation to mental health, really focused on mental health issues.
Absolutely. And both candidates actually have come out with policy platforms, which we're very excited about. So the more that we can raise the profile of the issue of mental health, we think the better it will be no matter who is elected.
And you said that's August 5th?
It's August 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Collegiate School in Henrico County.
Do you need to register to attend?
We would prefer that you register, but you do not have to. It's in the Oates Theater, which is a big theater on the campus of Collegiate. And if you go to the 1in5kids.org website, you will find all the information and a link to register. Also, people can print out a flyer if they want to pass it around to their friends or put it up at work.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. If you're just tuning in, we're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And Margaret Nimocro of Voices for Virginia's Children is here discussing issues related to children's mental health in Virginia. And you can learn more. She shared the website just a moment ago. 1in5kids.org is a great place to get more information about that event on August 5th, but also about all of the topics we've been discussing today. Now, you mentioned the gubernatorial campaign coming up, but you're also preparing for the General Assembly that's going to be coming up in January. Isn't that correct?
That's true. And some of our goals for this year's General Assembly will be to continue the momentum that we've built over the last two sessions in terms of trying to build up more community-based services for kids. And one of the areas that we also need to shift our focus to is kids in transition. These are children ages 14 to 24, so kids and adults. And this is an area where we've really not paid that much attention in the past. And what happens if you are diagnosed with a mental health disorder as a child or a teenager, you're sort of in one system, the children's mental health system. And then at 18 or 21, depending on if you're in special education, you enter into the adult mental health system. And the two are not well connected, and even the criteria and the definitions of mental illness are different in the two systems. And so it's not uncommon for me to hear from parents who feel like their teenagers are falling through the cracks of the system. We also know from looking at research that this is an age where children, teenagers, often get diagnosed for the first time with a mental health disorder. And so it's way too important of a time in a child's life to ignore, but it's something we really haven't looked at from a policy perspective. So there are some good models out there in other areas of the country, and we're trying to get focus on that age group as well. It's also been something that Governor McDonald's School and Campus Safety Task Force has been looking at, and we hope that it comes out as a recommendation of that group. This is the high-level task force that he put together after the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, to make recommendations around public safety, school safety, and mental health. And some excellent recommendations have already come out of that that were enacted in the last General Assembly session. But one of the areas that did not make it to the top in the last round of recommendations was this issue of transitional youth. So we're really going to be pushing that this year.
So that's helping to develop the connection, the link between children's mental health system and the adult mental health system, and ensure that adolescents at the time when they are going through that transition, ensure that they have the services available to them?
Absolutely. So there have been some intensive case management types of programs that have been successful in other places to make sure that the child has what they need to transition. Children who are able to and are going to college, that's a very difficult adjustment, even if you don't have a mental health disorder, but they may have some accommodations that they need or some supports they need in place to really manage their mental illness when they get out on their own. And so these are the kinds of programs that have been shown to be effective in other places, and we hope to build on that in Virginia.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the program that Voices for Virginia's Children, one of your main focus areas in policy and advocacy, is in terms of foster care youth. And I think about the challenges that foster care youth face in that transition as well, going from adolescence to early adulthood. Is that part of your thinking in terms of the transitional youth?
That is certainly sort of a subset of the youth that we're talking about. We do work on child welfare and foster care issues, and we do have an initiative at Voices where we're really working on trying to expand some of the independent living foster care services from 18 to 21 so that kids have that extra support. But you're right, children in the foster care system have certainly have a higher rate of mental health issues. Many of them have been abused or neglected, had a lot of transitions in their life, and have some serious trauma. And so one of the initiatives going on at the national level and also in Virginia is trying to make sure that everyone in the foster care system, the child welfare system, as well as the mental health system is really trained in trauma-informed care. And that's all about being aware of the trauma that the children might have faced and trying to address that underlying issue beyond whatever the symptoms are that we're showing. So certainly the foster care population, unfortunately many of whom age out of the system without permanent family connections, that's a definite target audience for what we're talking about.
It sounds like trauma-informed care could be a topic for a whole other show as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of research and a lot of information out there about how outcomes for kids can be much more effective if you approach it from a trauma-informed perspective.
Great. Well, thanks for that. Now, we are almost out of time. We have a couple more minutes. I'd love to hear from you a little bit more about how our listeners can get involved. You mentioned the websites, the vakids.org for Voices for Virginia's Children, right?
Yes, and 1in5kids.org for the Campaign for Children's Mental Health. We maintain electronic advocacy newsletters, and so if you sign up on either of those sites, you can get added to our list, so you will have emails, not too frequent, but a couple times a month to let you know about opportunities to get involved, media coverage of children's issues, training opportunities, and really opportunities to speak out, because I think it's important for people to realize that every voice does make a difference, and that if we can join our voices together, we really can raise the profile on some of these children's issues. So I would love for your listeners to sign up for our emails. I'd love for them to go on the 1 in 5 Kids site and learn more about the gubernatorial candidate forum. I think it's very important to find out what it is that our next governor, whoever it is, may do about mental health. We're hoping that whoever it is will become a champion for children's mental health issues.
Well, it's obvious that you are a champion for children's mental health issues. So it's been great to hear from somebody who's been working so hard on this issue for not that many years. I don't...
Quite a few.
Again, this is Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And we've been speaking with Margaret Nimmo-Crow, Acting Executive Director of Voices for Virginia's Children. Margaret, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great. And as always, I'm thankful to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR, like Andrew Haas, who helps out on the technical side, and Brittany Tracy, who makes sure we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. If you want to learn how you can join our team or donate to the station, go to WRIR.org to learn more. We count on your support to keep this local voice on the airwaves. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.